Wake up, everybody! No more sleeping in bed. Jamaica, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. What is wrong? Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord and the blessing to the readers and hearers and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jacqueline Vandergrift. I love that scripture. I'm Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Our Father and King, grateful that we serve a powerful, faithful, generous, loving, and living God that hears and listens and answers and is able and is bigger than all our problems. We praise you and love you and thank you for guiding us and for knowing us better than we know ourselves. We thank you for waking us up again today. Thank you for handfuls of purpose and for every opportunity to serve. We thank you for every blessing and all the provisions. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for all those who will participate and for each person listening to Bring Back the Family tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you guide us. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short daily. We ask that you comfort us and keep us surrounded by your hedge of protection. We ask that you show us your favor and overflowing mercy and cause all the children to get the support they need. We ask that you help each of us to know how we can help on our blocks. Because we know that we can do nothing without you, we ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie and Sister Rebecca. You know, God brought you guys in this together with me. He knew you to bring. And the
supported and this whole time. And, you know, he got a plan for us. And we're going to work that plan until we get out of here. Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. It's time of thinking ahead. It don't matter what race, creed, or color. Everybody, we need each other. We need some help. We can't do it alone. We all need each other. Okay? Wake up, everybody. And that song, it says it all. And it says a lot, and it should give us a lot to think about. Because something was going on at that time, and it back then, that gave them the reason to even write that song, okay? And it's a heavy, it's a deep song, and it's an old song, and it's still relevant today, okay? It's a call for the people to wake up, to get engaged, and make a difference. It talks about hatred, war, and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? It says no more about the second times of thinking ahead, and it encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. Who is responsible and who is willing to sacrifice and to take the responsibility in making this world a better place where I used to live? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make of it? Our minds. Who is going to be in charge of the next generation, passing the torch, running that race, doing great things because we prepared them? We could do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to the community in which we live. And just picture it. All your young people, parents, not having to worry about your young people that have become adults, going out there in the community, terrorizing it, and just making a bad name for themselves and the family. That family name is clean. So, who's responsible? And what are we going to make it in our mind? Okay? So bring back the family in a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this world, wherever they go. And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation is parents and community comes from me and from you. Someone did for us. So we have to do the same for them. They're our kids. They're our kids. Okay? So what are we supposed to do? Bring back the family, propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We will give them what we needed to make it so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make. Okay? This is simply just giving back. Getting more than what we had because it was a different time and a different generational mindset. And we just have to meet them right where they are. Right where they are. Okay? You feel me? And what are we supposed to do? Blah, blah, blah. Do something on your block. Share. Care. Show love. Be a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by. Okay? Give them something good to look at. Something good to look back on. When they get to be our age, we can look back and we can see beautiful things. We can see what and remember what our parents and community and the churches and everybody involved, community, the village that we had. You know what they did for us. And so we know what they need. We know what they need because we had it, okay? And so just, you know, it's simply just going outside your door, getting to know your neighbors, being neighborly, showing love, being positive, being encouraging. Let the youth on your block, get to know you, you know. Our youth have a problem with reading. Reading and writing. So flood them with some books. Get all those books out of your basement, out of the attic, out of the closet, off the bookshelf, and share those books with them. You know, let them know how important it is to read. That it's important for the future. And there's so many things that we can do. Talk to them about their careers. Start a book club on your block so that they can get used to reading. A career fair, education awareness affair. Just showing love, kindness, and concern, and encouraging, be encouraging to them. Because they're going through a lot right now. Our youth are going through a lot, and they need us to come to their rescue so that they can have a vision, so they can have something to look forward to in their future. Okay? And it's our responsibility. I don't care whose kid it is. It's our responsibility to show them, to love them, to care about them, and to give them, show them the way. So many things out here, so many jobs, so many careers, so many professions that they could get into. But if they don't hear anything about them, then they won't know. And so I have 9 to 12 kids on my block that I work with. And it's a joy to work with them because you see the improvement. We go to church. We go on a lot of different outings. They're familiar with their parents. They're my neighbors. I show them love. And they don't worry about their kids when they're away with me. And that's a good thing. You have to get those relationships started. Okay? So do your best. These are all our kids. They're all God's kids, and they're all our kids. And so when we do for God's kids, we're doing for God. That's all to it. And they're all precious. They're all good kids. God loves them all. Don't make a difference in them. Treat them all the same. Love them all. Give them all love. Show them some kindness. Because if we show them kindness, They're gonna learn how to be kind, okay? So that's what we propose to do. That's what we propose to do. We have been on the show for 3 years now. I've lost track. Time is going so fast. It's going so fast, and we are at almost at the end of the year. And you know, I was just thinking about, you know, what is it more that I could do. What can I do to encourage, you know, my neighbors, my listeners, and people around me? What can I do to encourage them to get involved, to get, you know, involved in bringing back the family, get involved in their community, get involved in the village mentality and the community mentality where that our kids can see and learn and live by what we show them that's good. And they need some direction. Okay. And so all I have to say is just, I'm going to keep on doing this. I'm going to keep on doing it until, you know, time is up. This is it. This is my life journey. Okay. And if you can help one child, you've done something. You know, go beyond that, you're really doing something. You know, we could all do something. As I said, we've done this show for about 3 years now, and it's coming up to the end of the year. And so we, you know, get our thinking caps on to what we're going to do for the next year, because it is fast approaching. It's fast approaching. I just want to put in your minds and your hearts to open them up and to just think about all the things that we've talked about over the years on this show, The things that we know that our youth need, they need help. They need lots of help, and they need us to be, you know, Superman and Spider-Man for them, Catwoman, and all of that for them. They need us to push them, you know, in the directions that they need to go. They want the help. They want the help. Okay, I run into a lot of kids that just cannot read. They can't read, and that's mind-boggling. So I'm just thinking, you know, what more can we do? What do you think we should do, listeners? Do you have any idea that will help? Share it with us. I want everybody to be pressing one today and coming up with their ideals, and we're going to talk about resources that we have, and, you know, they have a lot of Thanksgiving is coming up. They have a lot of turkey and food and things to give away to the families, and we're going to announce all those things there, how we can get motivated to help one another, help our youth. We're going to discuss the educational resources and talk about that 100 scholarship challenge. I think that is just a beautiful a challenge that that could get the kids motivated about going to school, knowing that they can get some money to go to college, you know. So we're going to push that more. So give us some ideas on what we could do. We're going to talk about the resources, like I said, for the holiday, youth activities for the holiday season, and some just some important things that we should be thinking about as far as our youth, and things that we kind of overlook. And just want to discuss our upcoming programs that we have lined up to just get this, as they say, to get this train rolling. And so we're going to talk about all those things. And just, you know, we want your ideas, we want your input, and we're going to have we're having the show. We're not going to have a show next week, have a show next Friday, because we're going to let that be family time for everybody to just have family, bring back the family, you know, sit at the table, talk, get rid of those phones, have some real good, meaningful conversation, find out what's in the brain, what's in the mind, and what you're feeling, and what you plan to do with your life, you know, or talk about what family is, what it means to you, and how family was, and how family should be able to get back together and do things that we need to do to keep it going for the next generation. We can't just stop here. We have to keep it going. I'm not going to keep talking, so we got our the hosts out there. They got their hands raised. They ready to go. They ready to discuss what they're going to discuss, and we want everybody to press one and have something to say today, you know, that's going to make a difference in the things that we're trying to do here, okay? All right, so Sister Rebecca, Sister Jackie, you with me? All the listeners out there, you with me? Press one, just, you know, go for it. Whoever want to go first. Okay. A lot to discuss. I got, let me see. So one of you guys to go, Rebecca, you want to go first?
Oh, wow.
I want Miss Jackie to go first, whoever wants to. I'm going to take it in my mouth for breaking. I'm going to get my little resources together here and get ready, and so we can do resources. I mean, I've got a lot. How y'all doing out there?
I'm great. I wouldn't mind if Sister Jackie goes first. That would be beautiful.
Okay. Sister Jackie, thank you.
Thank you, ladies. I just want to bring something in about
as you know, about the scholarships, and I was just looking at some scholarships for the state of Michigan. Get It Scholarship Program. Now, that's a Michigan Council of Women in Technology. That scholarship is up to $5,000. The deadline is January 31st, 2024. And what I want to say is that at time comes fast. And sometimes we put it off because we have certain things in front of us. Well, we missed out on some scholarships because technology will act up at the last minute. And we've been going through some things for the past 3 weeks. Peter's Foundation Scholarship. That's Herman and Catherine Peters Foundation, up to $5,000, April 1st, 2024. Let me say this, $500 scholarships, $1,000 scholarships, $1,500 scholarships, up to $5,000, they add up. That money will add up fast, and your child will have enough to pay for their semester, okay? And Michigan Competitive Scholarship, that's the Michigan Department of Treasury. That's up to $1,500, deadline May 1st, 2024. Now we have Earl Anderson Scholarship. Earl Anderson is an American Radio Relay League. That's $1,250, January 10th, 2024. North Central Region 9 Scholarship, Society of Manufacturing Engineer Education Foundation, $1,000 scholarship, February 1st, 2024. Now, Chapter 79/198/311 Scholarship. That's also Society of Manufacturing Engineer Education Scholarship. That's $1,000. That one is also February 1st, 2024. Michigan Memorial Scholarship. That's $1,000. That one is Auxiliary, the American Legion Auxiliary Department of Michigan, deadline March 15, 2024. Medical Career Scholarship, okay, that also is with the Department of Michigan, Auxiliary, American Legion Auxiliary. Department of Mission, $1,000. March 15th is the deadline of next year, 2024. Michigan Sugar Queen Scholarship. Michigan Sugar Company. They have up to $2,000 scholarship. So say, for instance, if your child put in for that Utah Phillip J. Davis Singer Peace Scholarship, Veterans for Peace, Chapter 93. Now, that's a scholarship up to $5,000, okay? And it says that the deadline varies on that. Now, if you look at that, we're talking about, say if we get the, that's 10, 11, 5, 12, 13, 14, 15, 18, 750, okay? Now, also, I was looking at the state of Michigan, November 2000, scholarship, no essays. That deadline is
November the 30th, 2023. So those are some of the scholarships that that we have right now for the in the state of Michigan. I think, Ms. Kathy, you had one for that you wanted to speak about that's in the city of Detroit. I think I'm going to turn it back over to you so you can address that one.
Okay. I'm going to have to see a lot of my resources. So many papers here. Anyway, it was the $100 million in Detroit that was scholarship to help Detroiters. I think the Michigan Promise Scholarship. And they sent out a list of scholarships that they have filed. I mean, the $100 million in Detroit at Work scholarship to help Detroit. Detroit at Work has job training and education programs to help your future and earn more money. And so learn to earn scholarship can help you build your reading and math skills. So that's a little bit of this program here. High school diploma, GED scholarships are available to pay you while you go back to school. Skills for Life scholarship will pay you to go back to school for your high school diploma or GED or technical certification while you work 3 days a week. Okay? The Just Stop scholarship will assist Detroiters who have been unemployed for over 6 months. So those are some good scholarships. Having finished your high school diploma, they'll pay you to go back. That's a big deal. Get your high school diploma, GED, or technical certification. And then they have to learn and work. This program pays you while you work and studies for your GED and your job certification. You can also get training in various careers, including truck driver, CDL, heavy equipment operator, information technology, skilled trades, and healthcare positions. Starting pay ranges from $17 to $25 per hour. Learning, and you can get more information with that at the Detroit @work.com/skills for life. That's DetroitAtWork.com/skills for life. And then they have the neighborhood with curb appeal. So we want to start making sure that our youth know that they are supposed to, you know, have pride and dignity where they live and keeping their property up. Where they live, beautification, where they live. And so they are making blocks beautiful again. And it says, is there a vacant lot you want to get rid of or a community garden you want to grow? What to start that block club you've been thinking about? Well, grant awards ranging from $500 to $15,000 are available to make it all happen. Applications are closed for 2023. Learn more at bit.ly/41FZFNX. So they'll have more more funds for that for 2024. So you can learn more at bit.ly/41FZFNX. So that's a good thing, you know. It's like a beautification project that we can make sure that our youth see that happening. Okay. Let's see. Okay.
Kathy, can you repeat that address, the web address?
For the curb appeal?
Yeah, that one.
For which the curb appeal, it's bit.ly/41FZ, it's a capital F, Z, and then small F, N, X. Yeah, I remember that they used to have beautification grants that they used to do years and years ago, and I know that the Ethel Street was one of the ones that got a lot of funds for that. That's why you always see Ethel looking great all the time. So we're going to bring that back, and hopefully we could get some of those funds for our street, for our neighborhood, for our community.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a whole lot. You could go to Detroit, PA. Okay, so for the work one, you could call 313-962-WORK, 313-962-9675. The Detroit at Work Career Center team will answer your question and help you get started. That's for the Detroit at Work. Visit Detroit at Work in person and schedule an appointment at one of the 9 career centers in Detroit, or go online to DetroitAtWork.com. DetroitAtWork.com is one word, DetroitAtWork.com. Okay, set up a job seeker profile online to learn more about jobs and programs. So they got scholarship. I was trying to see for that. Okay, so that's the same number. 962-WORK. That says, looking for a better job, a better career, Detroit at Work program will help you find a job. We have programs to teach new skills and help you with your resume and interviewing. There are even job and training scholarships available. Need your high school diploma. We will pay you while you earn it, with over 7,100 jobs and 100 million in scholarships available. There is a job for everyone who wants one. Okay, so Detroit got a lot that's going on to help people in the city. Take advantage of some of those opportunities. And I know that the promise, I had the promise award. I'm going to hit it with my resource page. But Miss Rebecca, did you have something that you were ready for?
Okay, well, I just wanted to review, and it's not on the same topic as scholarships and community resources,
mm-hmm.
but I just wanted to review Looking Poor and Being Rich in Secret. So we can get comfortable with that. We can eat at home. We can save money if we can know the difference between assets and liabilities and stack money and resources and more than that, stack heavenly treasure, because the truly rich are beautiful on the inside, and to communicate to the young people that image is a false god, and that we don't need to add to the hair that God gave us, or to the baldness that he gave us, or to challenge the way he made our eyebrows or our eyelashes, and let us count all the time it takes to get out the door. How many minutes in the mirror do you need? How many different pieces of equipment does it take for you to be ready? Because I'm somebody who used to try to perfect God's craftsmanship with tweezers and curling irons and eyeliners and foundation and powder and lipstick and acrylic nails and little papers to blot myself throughout the day. And all that stuff cost money. And on top of it all, it took me at least 40 minutes to be able to be ready to go. So that is time that I invested poorly, and I can't get it back. Now, how much time and treasures do you spend on beautifying what is already beautiful? We need to give our children the time and the money we used to spend getting ready and looking ready for social media. They need to know what things are truly a waste, and learn to appreciate what God made. So for all the young people out there, just know that if you spend time in God's word, letting him speak to you, then he will make you beautiful on the inside, which is the only part you can take with you to the next place. And with that, I give the mic back to you, Sister Kathy.
I love that. Yes. Hey, I can't nobody tell me I'm not beautiful. And I know that as I was coming up, me and my sisters, my mother always told us how beautiful we were. She would say, look at my beautiful girls. Look at my beautiful girls. And hey, I believe that. And I believe it now today. And I still feel like I'm beautiful. And I don't go through a whole lot of nothing to make myself look nice, because God gave me something, you know, natural and beautiful. So,
that's right.
Take me as I am. Yeah. And it's more important to be kind and have a good face, a smile, and just being kind. And now that comes from the inside. It comes from your heart. Everything comes from the inside and radiates out. And so, yeah, I like that. You know? And so we show that more to our youth. And instead of putting on a face that's not real, and teach them to love what they have, embrace what they have, and know that they're already beautiful. Then you know, they'll be happy. And you know, I used to say, hey, nobody tell me I ain't beautiful. Nobody, because you know, and you should raise your children, letting them know that they're strong and that they're beautiful and that they're handsome, and you know, speak, you know, good positive things to them. And, you know, that's what they'll take in, and that's what they'll know. So I feel like my mom was a beautiful person. Every day I try to walk in her shoes, you know, to make sure that I'm doing everything that she told me to do or raised me to do, and I saw her do. So, yeah. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. That was refreshing, refreshing, yeah. We do spend a whole lot of money on a lot of stuff that we really don't need. And I tell you, if we just put that money away and invest it the right way, then we'll be happy later. We'll have something to depend. We can have something that, you know, to be comfortable. We can be comfortable. We don't have to work about 60, 70 years. And we'll have some benefits. lot of ways we can save money. And I know Pastor Oak will talk about that for the first of the year. And I'm just waiting to hear it again because I'm going to start all over. I'm still not saving the way I'm supposed to. But we should get our young folks to saving and on a savings plan. And we're going to have some programs coming up that a bank, PSC, had said that they have a lot of programs for the youth to get them to save. And so we're going to tap into that and take advantage of what they have for the youth. Okay? So some of the resources that we have, it's called Mission, Mission City Thanksgiving Food Basket Giveaway. It's Thanksgiving, and everybody's giving away something, and everybody's been sending me all these resources to give to you. So I'm going to run them off right quick, and I think Miss Jackie has some that she wants to tell you about. A giveaway that's on 13624 South Street, and that's in Detroit, 48223. It says drive-through only. From, okay, two families per car, maximum two families per car. They have 150 baskets, first come basis, and that's on the 18th, and that's tomorrow. Yeah, that's Saturday, the 18th. And it's provided by Everything Turkey. It's all raw clothing, elite women organization. Okay, free turkey with the traditional food box Sunday, November 19th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Everything Turkey, 12548 Livernois Avenue, Detroit, Michigan. Write your name, number, and address, zip code. You can call 248-289-4399. And that's Elite Women Organization, Free Turkey with Traditional Food Box. And that's Sunday, November 19th. And then you have the one on 13624 Stout Street, Detroit. And that's tomorrow, the 18th, Saturday. Okay? Then we have Marathon Petroleum, Adopt a Family for Christmas, and they're in conjunction with Southwest Church of God in Christ. And you can go there and get application that you can fill out for all your children, or you could call me and I'll make sure you get a application. Marathon Petroleum, Adopt a Family for Christmas, okay, in conjunction with Southwest Church of God in Christ on 4th Street. Just call me and get application if you need one. 313-658-4995. Contact me. And you know, if you know anybody that's homeless, because we get, you know, it's that time of year you have people out in the cold, they can contact that Detroit Rescue Mission. Let's see. While I'm doing this, maybe could you look up the Detroit Rescue Mission phone number and information? That's just one avenue that you could go and get some shelter, Detroit Rescue Mission. And then we've got the CNS Healthcare Turkey Giveaway, November 18th, 10 a.m. The line opens at 9:45 a.m., 21331 Kelly Road, East Point, Michigan. These are, you know, kind of far out, but this is what they sent me. One per household photo ID, maybe. And that's 800-615-0411. 800-615-0411. Okay, and Thanksgiving Community Appreciation and Turkey Giveaway, Sunday, November 19th, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., and that's at Renaissance High School parking lot. Pick up 6565 West Otter Drive. That's Renaissance High School on Otter Drive from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday, November 19th. Okay? Okay, and their sponsors are the Okay. Yeah, so that's the Thanksgiving Community Appreciation. And their sponsors are Peace Detroit, sponsor Councilwoman Woman, Angela Whitfield Calloway, Shell Shop Tacos, House of Wax, Traps Catering, Innovative Client Connection, and Empowered Tutoring. Okay. So that's what I had. And then I want to just mention a business. It's got a business that you want to shout out. For someone that has a business and you want to shout their business out because it's the holiday season, and support our local community businesses. Okay, so we have the Mobile Fine Wine. It's a wine trolley downtown that just rides you around, cruise you downtown, and see all the beautiful sights and have some good music and sipping on your wine. So you can reach Lauren. His number is 283-0854 if you want to have some fun during the holiday time. Mobile Fine Wine Trolley downtown Detroit, 283-0854. And you could also look that up at Mobile Fine website. Okay. And then we have one more thing to announce. It's called Reefs Across America, and they're looking for volunteers to go to the National Cemetery in Holly, Michigan, and volunteer to put wreaths on the graves of all our veterans soldiers, and that is going to be December 16th. Okay, it's in Holly, Michigan. It's called 2023 Reefs Across America event at Great Lakes National Cemetery, December 16th. It begins at 11 a.m. They're going to have a ceremony, and right after that, they're going to have some big trucks come in with all these beautiful reefs, and you bring your group, and you go and put the reefs on each grave there. It says the parking will be off-site at the Ascension Genesis Hospital, and that's like on the way there off of Holly Road, I-75 Holly Road exit. And they're going to have buses. You park there, they're going to have buses there at the to cart you to the cemetery, and they start running about 9:30 a.m. when they'll load and unload. Okay, you have to, you really could go to, just go to the website, 2023 Reefs Across America, and get the information. You can register, and then they'll keep reminding you about it. You can take your group there, take a group of kids there, and let them volunteer. But, you know, that's one thing we need to do to get our youth interested in helping and being community people and being village, you know, part of a village and having community ethics and things like that, learning how to help, take them out there and let them volunteer and do something that's really honorable and they can, you know, put that on their resume one day. Okay, so you know Cat's Kids is going. And my family is going, and because our dad is out there, and our uncle, and one of my cousins, and so we're going to go out and volunteer that day. We're going to take Cat's Kids with us, and that should be a great time. Okay? All right, Miss Jackie, back to you.
I know that I was just, it brought to my attention today because Mr. Terrence Wheeler has supported the community for a very long time. Also, the high school, Superintendent Coleman, and they are having another turkey giveaway on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And anybody that needs the support, and it's not just for River Ridge residents, because they, what I was listening to is that they were saying that the working person that makes a little bit too much money to get assistance, but the high cost of food is not, they don't have enough to put it on the table. So they were saying that the metro area, so that means that if you are from any of the surrounding cities, you are welcome to go up, and they have, I think it's called the All-Stars, and they have some All-Star players that donate, different people donate, and it's getting bigger and bigger each year. So anybody interested, River Ridge High School on Tuesday, they are giving away turkeys. Okay? That's it from me.
All right. Pastor, are you there? You need to get in.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Right. I was listening to all of those scholarships and that's, hello to everybody, to Rebecca, to Jackie, and to you, and Sister Pierce, and Brother Rivron, and Shania, okay, everybody. But, tonight sounds to be about community. And as I was listening to Jackie talking about the scholarships and those that's available and this 100 scholarship challenge and a bunch of little bitty ingredients make a whole cake, and that's truth and that's for real, and it's my prayer, because see, a lot of people listen to your show after the show is aired. Because, when you look at the little squiggly lines in the back and you trace them, you can see what time and how many shows was downloaded and when. And I'm like, so people are listening later, okay? So the help is getting out there. The word is getting out there. And when I was listening to about the scholarships, I know a lot of people hear that, and a lot of people do act on it. Well, maybe not a lot, but some people are going to act on it. And like they say, if you can just help one, then you've done a lot. That's one that got helped. And if everyone helped just one, then everybody got helped. And that's real big. And then Avetrius, of course, sends over stuff to our website on the Helps Ministry page under Christian Resources. And, she sent over some stuff, the other day that's just loaded with help and real stuff to help people get up on their feet and get going again. So what that brought to me and what Rebecca was talking about is raising people's self-esteem. What works for me all the time is Jesus died for me. God sent Jesus to rescue me. How much am I worth? I am worth God's Son. What's worth more than God's Son in creation? And all of creation, what is worth more than Jesus Christ and what he did for us? So that kind of helps my self-esteem through the roof. But, that's me. I've been studying the Bible since 1975, or walking with the Lord, or sitting with the Holy Spirit since 1975. But a lot of people need to hear that. They need that. Somebody to tell them that you are beautiful. I listen to Erica Campbell every day, every morning, her and Griff, and now Cheryl Jackson, listen to them and she knows. But anyway, and they give out a lot of inspiration for people, young and old, you know, to believe in yourself and to always know that you belong to God and you're God's child. God wanted you so much. You're worth so much that he gave his son for you, you know. So after listening to that, what I hear and what I hear you talk about is community. And the church is sort of absent in the community. And I don't think we really understand how this thing works. Every part has its place and its purpose from God. And so the church needs to be in the community. What you were talking about is let them see something. If you can't go over there and talk to them about Jesus, then show them how Jesus lives. The Lord said it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He said, seek to lead a quiet life, or make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, and guess what? You'll get the respect of outsiders. Now, that's nonverbal witnessing. You get the respect of those who are on the outside. They look at the way you walk. They look at the way you talk, and they learn about God. You're an example of Jesus Christ, but they know you're not Jesus Christ because they know you're not perfect. But when you make mistakes, you admit those mistakes. You don't say it wasn't a mistake. If you lose, you say you lost. You don't lie and say you won. That's not a Christian example to anybody. That teaches you to not accept defeat, not accept the truth. But so the way we live in front of people in the community, the church again has turned away from the community. It has turned inward, and all we talk about is what God gonna do for us in the church. He going to bless this. He going to bless that. He going to restore this. He going to restore that. And it's all about us. But we are, you can tell that we're absent in the culture. You can definitely tell we are not out there in the culture. We are wrapped up in our churches, having conferences after conferences, of convocations of bishops, and it's all about us. And then we wonder why the community is like it is. It's because the church is not there. Again, the church has a job to do, and that is to make disciples. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Ephesians chapter 4, he gave some to be apostles, who church planters, prophets who inform about what God going to do, and personal information, and they talk about evangelists, people who go out and only tell people about Jesus. And then you get to the end of the line, you got the pastors and teachers, and they are in the church, the local church, the place where you go to worship, and their job is to teach you the word of God so that you become mature in your walk with Jesus Christ. And then when you leave the church, you go home and you live the word of God in your house, in your community. And that means, like in the book of Acts, when you look at the book of Acts in chapter 2, it is amazing. This is the church. Listen, they devoted, I'm at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That means they went to Bible class. And to fellowship, that means they didn't worship at home by themselves. They fellowship with like-minded believers in Christ Jesus, wherever they was meeting. The breaking of bread, they became community. And to prayer, they all pleaded with God to do what the Lord said he would do. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, because that's the way God got people's attention, so that somebody could tell them about Jesus. Peter went to the temple in chapter 3, him and John, and they healed a man who had been tore up from the floor up for 42 years. But it wasn't that that got those people saved. It was what Peter said after his, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, get up. He got up. And then Peter said, why do you look at me and John like by our own power we made this man whole? Oh, no, it was that Jesus you thought you killed who got up from the grave, and he has filled us with the Holy Spirit, and it is by his power this man was made whole. Then Peter went on to preach, and people believed. But in Acts chapter 2, that's what was going on. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. They was in the community. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They were a community. By the time you get to the book of Acts chapter 5, the community has grown. There are now thousands of people. But a strange thing happens in Acts chapter 4 with this community, these people out in the community. In verse 32, we hear this. All the believers were of one heart and one mind. Now the community all thinking alike. There's not this denomination, that denomination, this doctrine, that doctrine. All the believers were of one heart and one mind. Isn't it amazing that the Lord our God gave us one Bible, and every single one, they say it's about 8 billion people here in the world, okay, and every one of us is different. But the Word of God means the same thing to each and every one of us. So all the believers were of one heart and one mind about the same thing. Peter said it earlier in this chapter. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name was Jesus the Christ. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. See, today, all we want is what we want, so we can go get a big boat, we can go get a big car, we can go get a big house, and everybody can see how blessed we are. So that is to say, people who don't have all of those things are not blessed. Jesus didn't have all them things. He grew up in Nazareth. They said stuff like this about where he came from. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? Has a prophet ever come from Nazareth? That's where Jesus grew up. Think about the town you don't even want to go in where you live. That's where Jesus grew up. So by that standard that we have today, he was what? Not saved? Not blessed? So we have a misunderstanding of that too, but this ain't what that's about. With great power, here it is again, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. This is not miracles. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection. Remember over there in Acts 2, it was miracles. Over here, it's the word of God. The church is growing in the community. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy persons among them. Oh, so you're telling me the church was the social services organization in the community. But think about the church today. I mean, yeah, Thanksgiving is coming up and everybody's going to be giving away turkey. But what used to bother me and what got Running for Christ Ministries involved with the ministries that do something every day was that thought that what happens the day after Thanksgiving? You can only keep that stuff 2-3 days and it's gone. Then what? So we got involved with Forgotten Harvest, Gleaners, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Salvation Army, Bring Back the Family, Bondage Breakers, First Fruit Living Ministries. See, they're continuous. They keep doing the stuff. And so we got involved with that. But the church, that puts us where? In smack dab in the community. Through those people. The church's job is to do what? Ephesians 4, make disciples, help people mature to become all they can be in Christ Jesus, right? That's the church's job. The local church, that's their job. They can't be running all over the community. That's not their call. But ministries are already out there doing the job, and they're experts at it. Gleaners can take your dollar and feed six people. So I can't do that. Running for Christ Ministries can't do that. So I tell you what, we'll give gleaners a bunch of dollars and let them feed a lot of people. And then that way we can feed the 5,000. God got this thing all set up. And that's what they did. Now notice this, there was no needy among them. And here's the reason why. From time to time, those who owned land or houses, they sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to everyone or anyone who had need. I think Ephesians tells us in chapter 4 that those who have been stealing, let them stop stealing, get an honest job so they can do what? Help those in need. That's the community. That's what's going on in the church. And in Galatians chapter 6, they're out in the community doing the same thing. And in verse 10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people in the community. But we're just making it for it in the church. Well, listen to this, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. The all people become before the family of believers. In other words, the Lord wants us to help those who are in or outside the body of Christ. He wants us in the community, block by block. Is there anybody hungry in your community? There's a lady down the street from us. I'm only telling this story for the glory of the Lord, not for my wife and I to get any kind of anything out of it. But whenever there's extra from First Fruit Living Ministries, we would bring it home. And there's a lot of little boys down there living with this lady, and it's just the lady and her daughter, and we get them all the extra stuff. And they receive it with thanksgiving every time. The only reason I told that is because for the glory of the Lord, that somebody's heart might get out into the community. For instance, you want to know how powerful you are in your block and your walk with Christ? If I come into your community and ask your neighbors about you, what would they tell me? So that's what we want to do. We want to get out there. And block clubs, they foster community, and that's what we've lost today. So the church needs to go back out into the community, and the way to do that is to become teaching churches again, disciple-making churches again. Teaching people how to go home and disciple their selves and their families. Okay? Make disciples themselves. Disciple their kids. Disciple themselves. The best Bible studies I have are the ones I have one-on-one with the Holy Spirit. He disciples me. And we should be discipling. Jesus said, go, and when he said that, he used the word in the King James Version, it says, go and preach. We thought he was only talking to preachers, but if you really do some work on that word, they call it etymology, what you would find out is that word, preach, meant proclaim. It's the King James word, which means proclaim, shout loud. Okay, that's all it means. So he's talking to everybody. To go forth and make disciples of every nation. And then once you make them disciples, right, once they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, Jesus says, teach them what I taught you. And then that becomes cyclical, right? It just keeps happening over and over and over. And this way, out of each generation, God is taking out of this world of people for himself. But along the way, Joyce Myers taught me a long time ago, learn to enjoy the journey. And the best way we can do that is get out in the community. The church got to come out of the church and go back into the community. I mean, if you read the book of Acts, those first six chapters, you will see that they were not locked up. Jesus didn't even give them a building to be in. They had to go from house to house. They were called house churches because they didn't have what we have today. They were forced to be in the community. They could not hide. And when you read about them, I mean, you think about what people say about the church today versus what they said about that church in the community. They had held them in high regard. But you ask people out in the community today about the church. All they'll talk about is the pastor steal all the money, and the people over there crazier and crazy because they get a pastor all the money, and they just pastor live in the mansion, they live in the shoebox, and that kind of stuff. But that's what we show them. But if we show them something different, that our marriages can last, that our kids can be respectful. You know what I mean? If we give them, I hear Kat talk about it all the time. They gave it to us. Our parents gave us this life that we talk about how it used to be. Why won't we give it to them? Why won't we give it to the next generation? Why won't the church come out of the church after Sunday and go into the community where you live, where you work, where you have fun, and be a Christian? If you can't talk to them, live in front of them. I mean, the thief on the cross never had no one-on-one conversation with Jesus until they got up there on that cross. How did he know Jesus was a just man? See, Jesus did a whole lot of talking without talking. He did it through his walking. Quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, got the respect of the thief on the cross. Thief on the cross got saved. And Jesus didn't witness to him. He didn't say nothing to him. These two thieves is talking to each other. And both of them in the beginning was trashing Jesus. And this conversation I read, I counted the words in the King James Version, I believe it was 28, counted them in the NIV, I believe it was 33 words. A 33-word conversation. Most people speak 500 words in a one-minute conversation. And he got saved. How did he get to know Jesus so well that he could say to him in faith that God saw from heaven that his faith was real, that Jesus looked in his spirit and saw his faith was real and said, this day you will be with me in paradise. You telling me he got that much faith up there on the cross? Jesus never went to him like the rich young ruler and said, come in. But Jesus lived in the community. And that man heard how Jesus lived in the community. And that man got saved. What if Jesus did like they just hung up in the synagogue all the time? He never go out into the highways and byways and to the hedges to compel people to come. What if he just hung up in the church like we do all the time? Bible classes and conferences and convocations, award shows and making each other important, and got the world believing that if you come to Jesus, he's going to make you rich, take away all your problems. But yet, John 16:33 say we're going to have trials and tribulation. But be of good cheer because Jesus will overcome the world. So we got to, you know, get back out into the community. And this is what bring back the family is established for, is built for, is founded on, is community. And getting, because that's all, people are in the community. And some of them ain't coming to church. How do you reach them? live it out, get a chance to talk it out. But if you've been to church and you go to Bible class, then you know how to witness. But if you don't go to church and you don't go to Bible class and you winging this thing, you ain't fellowshipping with nobody. You're a Christian on an island. Jesus said, you shall be my witness. Who you witnessing to if you don't hang out with nobody? If unholy people are unholy, so you don't hang around them, and they're the lost ones. The holy people is crazy and hypocrites, so you don't hang around them. So what exactly are you doing for Jesus? Jesus said the lepers, they couldn't even come to church. And then the lady caught in the act of prostitution, they weren't going to the synagogue either. Jesus went out there and found them. What if he hadn't found Mary Magdalene, who when he found her had 7 demons in her? What if Jesus just stayed in the synagogue and didn't find Mary? Who would have been the first one to go and tell Jesus' disciples he's risen? A woman who had 7 demons in her when Jesus found her. And at the end of the thing, she's the first one to see the risen Christ. But Jesus went into the community, found Mary. We got to get out of this church and get back into the community. And if you're scared to talk, live it for real. And stop being that kind of Christian the community talk about. Ask your neighbor, did you know they go to church? They do. What, Satan Church? You know, you don't want that. Be that Christian that the Bible calls us to be. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect, because my neighbors know I'm not perfect, but they also know that I am a Christian. They know I'm quiet until I start my race truck up, and then they know that I mind my own business because I ain't never in there, okay? And they know I work with my own hands because I ain't never asked them for nothing, okay? And so you get the respect because you're doing what God said. And another benefit of that is it says, and you won't be dependent on nobody. So God intends for you not to be dependent on nobody except him. And if he want to use them to help you, then he got them all over the place that will help you and keep it moving. And when God sends people to help you, you don't owe them, you know, but that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, community. Church got to get back out there and bring back the family. It's all about getting back out there because that's where they are. And not being judgmental because people are, you know, it's like going to a doctor's office and you come walking out and he's like, why are you out so quick? It's full of sick people in there. Well, it's like a doctor's office. That's where sick people go in that church. A lot of people leave church because they're hypocrites and all this. Well, that's the doctor's office. This is where they're supposed to be. Church is filled up with sick people. So if you don't like sick people, you might not like church. But, yeah, community, you know, that's what we have to get back to. And you know, this is almost a thankless task. And, you know, I remember Isaiah crying out to the Lord, and that helps me a lot sometimes, you know. Lord, who have believed our report, and to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed? And I read that a long time ago and didn't really know what it meant. But Isaiah wanted to know, are we making a difference? Are people getting this? I mean, I look around, I don't see nothing changing. Is anybody listening? That was his complaint. And if you really ever need to console yourself about, does God even understand what we're going through and how we feel? Yes, he does. And he wrote a beautiful, he had some human being. I don't know who wrote this psalm. It's a psalm of Asaph. He was the music leader. the choir director, that's it, but it's Psalm 73. And you read it, if you're feeling funny about evil people in this world, and it looked like this world is just as evil as it can be, and the evilest people are making doing the best, when you read this, then like the psalmist, you'll get your mind right. There's 28 verses, but I'm telling you, each one has a whole lifetime in it, a whole lifetime full of comfort in it. It helps you to understand the mind of God, the heart of God. I mean, God so wants everybody to be saved and for life not to be like this. This is, as Pastor Janet Tate is teaching us, this is not the Zoe life, life as God intended it. We are not flourishing as God wants us to, you know. So this psalm helps you to understand God's heart, that he is more concerned about souls being saved. Because, see, God knows the end. If people don't accept Christ, he knows what their end is going to be, because he made the end for them. And, you know, he knows the end. And, you know, so he works real hard at getting people saved. That's why you're doing this, Kat. That's what bring back the family. It, you know, in one way, it's an awesome thing. Another way, it'll come out in my sermon Sunday. To some people, you're a breath of fresh air. But to other people, not so much. To those who are waiting on somebody to try to do something, it tells them God cares. God heard me. He created Bring Back the Family. But to others who sort of like the status quo, and, well, why are you doing that? You ain't gonna change that. People are out of where they are. You know what I mean? Them is a whole other thing. But that's, my sermon is creeping out, so I'm going to leave that alone.
Oh, is that for Sunday?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about forgiveness for the offender. Be sure to tell Jeffrey that we're going to be, my sermon subject is forgiveness for the offender. He'll know why.
Okay.
I started to tell him that. Yeah, so that's a tough one. That's a toughie.
Well, I know he talked to me about something my mom did a long time ago, and he's still bringing it up. And when we went to Mrs. King's funeral the other day, I hope he heard what his son said before him, because that answered why she did what she did. I meant to ask him, did he hear that?
Finally came out.
Yeah. I was like, wow, you just never know what you're going to hear. If you're listening, you get the answers that you're searching for. And he was saying that his mom had made him wear Mitch Mack shoes to school. He had broken his toe. Yeah, he had broken his toe, and she made him wear Mitch Mack shoes to school, a gym shoe and a regular shoe. And he said, you know, kids, the way they do, he knew that he was going to be teased, and he was teased. And he said what that did was showed him how to have humility or something. He was like, it made him strong. And anything anybody would do to him, a laugh or anything like that, it didn't bother him. So he got a lesson out of that. So when my brother told me about the shoes, it had to do with shoes too, about my mom made him give his brand new shoes that he worked for and brought to my cousin that was graduating from high school, and made him
give him his new shoes, and I guess he had to give the old shoes to him, and he said they had a hole in them. Now, he always exaggerated a little bit. I just know he did. And so and he said he just cannot understand why she made him give her his new shoes. And I was like, and so when I got out of it, I said, well, look how you are now. I said, you have everything you need, you know. I said, would you rather be in his shoes where he is now or the shoes that you're in now? But as I got to thinking, I say, now, the lesson from that I think that my mom was trying to show him is that, you know, you have to learn how to share. You cannot be selfish. You have to learn how to share. And I think if she took his shoes and made him give them to somebody else, if she did that, that's what she was probably doing, trying to keep him from being selfish.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Teach you how to share. Because we used to, back in the day, yeah, though, hand-me-downs was a regular thing, and that was just normal.
Right. He always worked. He just wanted money all the time. He worked as a little boy, and he's still working. He won't stop working. He's scared of being poor, I guess.
He acts like we were
the poorest people in the world. We weren't. I didn't think so. You know, maybe this time, because we all on different spectrums. I don't know. They saw something different than what I saw. So Miss King's son, he said his mom saw something in him that he needed to be corrected on. She saw something in him, and that's why she did that. And so my mom probably saw something in him that he needed to be corrected on. So I hope he heard it. I'm going to ask him that. So I will tell him forgiveness for the offender. I sure will. I'm going to tell him that.
Yeah, forgiveness for the offender.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Okay, I can't wait to hear it too. All right, good information all day. Good sermon there. Awesome. We have a lot of work to do, and time is goes so fast, and just one day to the next. You don't know what you're going to hear, what you're going to see. You know, so we just have to keep on going. I hope that everybody just try to get on the same accord and just think about helping a youth, you know, even if they're in your own home, you know, make sure they have what they need so that they don't have to be going out here taking what they want to work hard for what they need. Let me see. Jackie, are you still connected? I didn't know if you had mentioned Miss Ella May's event that she has going on or not. Did you? I didn't remember hearing that. Did you?
I'm not sure, but I will pull it up. Okay. Now, starting out, I don't know if that was Pastor Bynum, Thanksgiving Day dinner giveaway, November the 23rd at 1 p.m. on Visica Road, between 17th and 18th Street. If somebody doesn't have a dinner, they're having dinner there. Now, from my understanding, I know, let me shout this out, but I know it's over. Kimmini Center had free meals, I believe it was yesterday from 5 to 7 p.m. And let me get to
the What time is that for Bynum?
I think Pastor Bynum's 1 p.m. And Ella Mays, this is her fifth annual Thanksgiving giveaway from 12 to 3 p.m., and that's until all the food lasts. It's gone. So this is her fifth year serving the community, giving back, and that's up on the 4th Street. Ella Mays.
Yes. Yeah, right across the Kimmeny Center.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was that. I think it was something else that I know Senator Peters was doing something to help people with email from Senator Michigan Senator Gary Peters' office that's helping people with their heat assistance program, low income housing energy assistance program, LIHEAP. Mm-hmm. And they are saying for people to go to HTTP, you know, you don't have to do that. But anyway, you got to do the www.liheapch.acf.hhs.gov/profile/michiganhtm. That's www.liheapch.acf.hhs.gov/profiles, profiles/michigan.htm. Now, that was something that Sister Shirley had sent out. Okay.
So what was that assistance and what? Heat assistance?
That's utilities.
Utilities.
Mm-hmm.
Who was sponsoring that?
Senator Gary Peters.
Okay. We had something else?
I believe that was it.
Thank you.
You know what? Also, I saw it on television, something about the city of Detroit. If you live in Detroit and you're graduating from high school, they are offering mm-hmm. to pay the tuition. So,
and I think that's the promise. I think that's the promise scholarship.
Okay.
I think it is.
Uh-huh. That's a good thing. Anytime we hear anything, we want to share it with people. So they're mm-hmm. making a way for people to, if you want it, they're making a way for you to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And take advantage of what somebody, because, you know, I'm going to tell you something. If you can go to school free, take advantage of it and go to school free. They got other programs. I think you spoke about that one day also. Know that the tree trimming program is going strong. That position, I don't know when they're going to start up the next one, but that position... Mm-hmm. Once they are licensed, I think they can take that anywhere in the world and get hired. So, you know, some of these things is skills. Even if you don't want to go to college, they have other programs for you. I think Sister Pierce brought that up with the young man that she helped go to a technical school, and he's doing quite well now. Uh-huh. So, you know, even if you don't go to college, there are programs out there for you to do something and to make yourself self-sufficient. And some of those positions are paying more than some of the college positions. So, you know, kind of keep an open mind. What will make you
satisfied and give you a passion, because you have to love what you're doing. It takes, it goes a little bit deeper. You don't want to go in the field and then be miserable every day going to work. So that's all.
That's right. That's right. They do have a lot going on out there at the truck driving, and they said the school where you can go and get your GED, and they'll pay you to go do that. You can do the carpentry, use your hands. Yeah, a lot of opportunities out there. And then I did want to mention about some of the programs that we were going to be starting early in 24, if not before. We're going to be doing the entrepreneurship. We're going to be doing The Boss of Me Is Me, working with real-life scenarios and incidents and trouble that young people get into, and how they make the decisions, and how to handle those real-life scenarios and situations that they get into. We're going to work with that. Financial literacy boot camp. And introduce them to the armed services, armed forces, and so that they could, you know, like you said, they don't want to go to college. They could go into the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and those are good opportunities that, and we talked about that before, that they can, you know, have as an option and, you know, make a good living and retire early. I'll be doing early career exploration for the young folks. You know, can't wait till it's too late, and wait till a later time to get them interested in a career. We have to let them know early that, you know, it's expected to, for them to do something with their lives, and know that these are things out there that they can get into. It's for everybody. It's for all of us. Work with them in volunteering so that they know how to help people and help their social skills, okay, do some college fairs and things like that. So we're ready to get busy, ready to hit pavement and start running, and we're going to reach out to these corporations and get us some funds so we can support all the plans that we have, and we're just ready. Just ready to do it. So let's look to that. And that's how we're going to help, you know, the ones that we can help. If everybody get out there and help one poor boy, look what that would do. Okay? Let me see. I think they said Ford Motor Company is hiring Dearborn. Ford Motor Dearborn. Just go on their website, see what they have. That was it. I like the things that are going on right close by. The Thanksgiving dinner between 17th and 18th Street on Visgar. Pastor Bynum's church is sponsoring that. And then the fifth annual giveaway with Ella Mae's place on 4th Street. That's a restaurant. So we need to support her business up there. And with her food, people say it's good. I did eat there once, pretty good. And then we got the More Soul up there on 4th Street, too, that we should support. We need more family restaurants in our community. So the ones that we have, we want to support so that they will stay. Okay? It's time for us to support one another. And like I said, that Reef Across America, that's going to be a nice, honorable thing for our youth to do. If you're interested, go on their website and get the information for that, for the National Cemetery in Holly, Michigan. I was just up there on Wednesday with Ms. King. She was up there and joined her husband, Mr. King. So that was a beautiful ceremony, a celebration there, going home celebration. Okay. Children are our future. Oh, I want to just, you know, we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next, or one second to the next. My niece and nephew lost their dad today, just within the hour. His name was Eldridge Holmes, Al. And so keep them in prayer, Sharnay and Jermaine. And my sister Maddie, keep them in prayer. One day to the next, you just never know. One second to the next. Okay? That's it. Ms. Johnson, you have anything? Alma's clear. Jackie, everybody's good?
Alma's clear.
Okay, I got it mine, but I don't know how clear it is.
Okay. Yeah, we got to get our church information out. That's right. I'll do that next. Go ahead. Ready. Go ahead, Pastor. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. No, I was just saying, all mine's clear. I used to hear that in church, and I'd say,
yeah.
Well, Jesus, my mind ain't
right.
clear. But no, I was just saying. No, yeah, to church tomorrow here at the same place, Janice at 9, with our Saturday church school, and then worship service at 10 o'clock. Minister Lachelle Anderson, the president of First Fruit Living Ministries, she's going to be preaching tomorrow. She, Elder Joseph Stevens, had another engagement, and so she's going to step in and preach for him in his place tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So join us for 9 for worship, 9 for church school, 10 for worship. Same thing Sunday, only in person at the church on Ida Drive, 27085. 9 o'clock Sunday school, 10 o'clock worship service.
You don't have anywhere to go, come and visit us. We have a good time. Yep, 27085 West Ida Drive, Run of Christ Ministry. Okay, love to have you. Okay, hey, the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone, because we won't be on next Friday, so happy Thanksgiving, and we look forward to all these holidays coming up. Everybody stay safe, and, you know, just make Thanksgiving just what it is. It's time for family, fellowship, and fun, and like I said earlier, have some good conversations, put those phones away, and just have some good quality time with one another, and showing some love and some concern. Okay? Guess what? We have plenty of work to do, so let's do it. Okay, thanks everybody.